drawing room over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. Storm Boy has had a few reincarnations on film and has now been adapted for the stage by playwright Tom Holloway. Actor John Batchelor and puppeteer Ellen Bailey are bringing the production of Storm Boy to life, and they're my guests in the drawing room. Welcome.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Patricia.
John, you're making your Melbourne Theatre Company debut in this production of Storm Boy.
Certainly am.
It's not your first time on stage. Tell me a bit about that and your role in this production.
I have been acting for about 27 years in theatre, film, television and radio, and it's been a pretty awesome career. I've enjoyed it a lot, still am. So this is my first play here at the Melbourne Theatre Company, which has been great. First time at the Sumner Theatre at the South Bank Theatre Complex.
It's a great theatre, isn't it?
It's an amazing theatre. It's great. I love it. It reminds me of the Heath Ledger Theatre over in Perth, which is about the same 500 thing. It's a really intimate space for a great thing to be able to just stand on the edge of the apron and just speak at a very normal volume to be heard by everybody, which is great. Very intimate space. So this is the first time here. I play Hideaway Tom in the story, which is Storm Boy's father. And Storm Boy's father's taken Storm Boy away to as a recluse of the world, basically, to get away from all of the problems of the world. And the best way to do that is to hide. And that's what he's doing, unfortunately. By the time we get to this story and the play starts, Storm Boy's asking a lot of questions and some people see him. And so there's interactions that have to be faced.
Alan, you're an actor and physical theatre performer, training. I know you've trained in dance and movement. Correct. How does it feel performing with a puppet?
Love it. It's great.
Love it!
Love it.
Have you done it before?
No, this is my first time ever performing as a puppeteer. I found it challenging, super rewarding. And
what was challenging about it?
Well, okay, so as a physical performer, I'm used to movement just within my own body. So everything that I know as a physical performer, I understand it inside myself. Of course, the puppets are something that is external of me and the rest of the puppeteers, obviously, as well. I have found that kind of everything that I know has then been challenged by that, because you have to then not only think about that movement within yourself, but then transfer that into that being that is an extension of yourself. And what you think you're doing and what you think you're about to execute can come out really differently when you're controlling a, 10 kg plus weighted bird.
You've brought in a small puppet with you.
I have.
And it's a beautiful looking thing. Tell me about this puppet and how do you work with it on stage?
Okay, so this one is one of the baby pelicans. We have this beautiful introduction to the pelicans as babies, and then you see them, without giving too much away, you see them sort of transform into the full-size grown pelicans that Storm Boy becomes particularly attached to. But this little guy is one of the babies that Storm Boy first finds in the sanctuary and wants to keep them and take them home. Young Connor Lowe, who plays Storm Boy, plays with these ones mostly. And what it is, it's kind of like this decrepit, sick-looking, kind of small, runty-looking thing. And like all the puppets that the dead puppets use, they're made from plywood and usually nuts, bolts. This one doesn't have any aluminium sort of frame within it, but a lot of then elastic bands. And this one is a pretty simple mechanism where you can press two of the elastics and the little wings move, and then the front, you just push on a little trigger thing there and its head moves forward and its beak opens. And yeah, in the show we have the novelty of making those things squeak, which is kind of fun standing on stage.
Tell me more.
Well, we stand off stage, we're all mic'd, so the actors are mic'd, the puppeteers are all mic'd, and we basically watch Connor as he presses the little lever, and when its mouth opens, we go, which brings much delight to audience
members. And they emotionally blackmail everybody else on stage.
How many pelicans are on stage at any given time?
Any given time, three. Yeah, so it becomes a bit of a physical nightmare when we have the three actors, the three puppeteers, and then the three pelicans on stage at once. It's like a lot of room for error.
Has there been error?
We had one last night.
Tell me, I love error.
Oh, we have this scene where John, he has a little bit of an explosive moment and clothes fly everywhere.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I threw the clothes and they ended up around Ponder's feet.
Which is the pelican that I manipulate.
And the feet, the wheels on the feet of the pelicans and sock material, anything does not work. They don't go together. So I look down, and while I'm telling them to hurry out and get off, I'm looking down and I can see that Ellen's not going anywhere because the socks are stuck around. So I just reached down, grabbed the socks and said, "Don't try and steal my socks."
And then, yeah, it's fun. It keeps us on our toes a lot. And it's always kind of room for play while we're performing.
What does it bring to audiences, do you think, to use puppets like this?
Very good question. I think that it taps into this extreme innate sense of imagination. Yeah. That these puppets, they're obviously puppets. We're not trying to make them, audience members, believe that they are animals. Clearly they are not. But the way that they've been designed by Dave Morton, he's the artistic director of Dead Puppets and the builder of the puppets, is that they're kind of built in a way that is very skeleton. So it's the bare bones of these puppets, which leaves a lot of space for you as either an audience member or as an actor. I think John would agree to invest in, okay, what do I think that this animal looks like? Fill in the gaps, so to speak. Total imagination. And I think that has been very successful.
And everything's out in the open as well. The puppeteers are standing on stage with us. They're connected to the puppets, be it with the big puppets with a massive rod or the smaller puppets on the end of a really big pole. Everybody's, you can see everything. Nothing is hidden. So to make it try and look like an animatronic pelican or penguin or snake or crayfish, because we have a whole, menagerie of sea life, and beach life in the play, it is that thing where you need to, as an audience member, invest in it as much as we have. And that seems to be, by the end of the show, they're very much into it.
Yeah.
So Storm Boy, let's talk about the actual, Storm Boy is so well known in Australia.
Yeah.
Does that make it kind of tricky as well when something is so well known? There's a lot of pressure, isn't there?
Well, I think more than anything, people bring their own view to it.
That's why the pressure exists, right?
Well, I don't know if you take that as pressure or as you take it as your ability to maybe teach them something new, maybe give them, as long as you're invested in it and you don't want to destroy what Colin Tierley wrote the book in the 60s. They made a film of it in the 70s. It won the best film of the AFIs. But Tom Holloway's play is different from that novel in the sense that the novel starts off and the three men are all living together, two boys and the men are living together and it's a very normal way of life. Hideaway goes up and trades up in the town and stuff. That's nothing to do with this play. Fingerbone Bill, who Tony Briggs plays, meeting happens at the start of the play, and like I said, Hideaway is trying to hide he and the boy away from everyone, so he doesn't like that. And also this whole idea of bringing pelicans in, so therefore we have to take care of something. Hideaway doesn't like that. Tom, in his adaptation of that novel, has given us a different story to tell. I haven't seen the latest film, so I don't know whether that's similar to it, but it's certainly, once you're on the stage, you're having a different story than a film. But we also have Justin Harrison's audiovisual shots of the Coorong playing in the show as well. So whilst we're on stage, we have this massive screen that's giving you a feeling that you're there. Mm. And those sort of images that have happened, you can get lost in that theatrical experience. Mm. So, no, certainly don't feel any pressure. But when I read the play, I just looked at those characters and went, I have to play that character. It's a beautiful character. So that's my reason for being there.
Have you been in Storm Boy before? Have you performed it before?
No, I haven't. I saw the 2013 Sydney Theatre Company production that was a co-production with Bucking Gecko that is basically the same play. It's Tom's adaptation, but he's played around with it a little bit and we played around in rehearsals with his words and scenes a little bit as well. So I saw it. And again, when I sat there and watched that play, I just went, that's a beautiful story. Mm. I'd love to be involved in
that. Talk me through playing around with it. I love that idea. And adapting it from the edit, like even changing it from that last time.
Yeah.
What does that involve? How do you kind of come to those, how do you work that through?
Well, Well, a number of things happen. First of all, that we tell the story now, today. So like I said, Colin wrote the book in 64 and it's had all these different stagings, but this story is being told today. So Tony's interpretation of Fingerbone Bill is totally different to David Goldblatt's interpretation of the first film, Fingerbone Bill, and my interpretation of Hideaway is like all of the blanks that Tom's left open, I've certainly filled in a more modern day sense. So telling that story now gives it a different feel, gives it a different drive. Now, having three other performers on stage with, who you're working with, and Drew and Emily and Ellen are all actors, and so we connect very well on stage. But then when we get onto stage to perform, we can't look at each other. They don't exist to me. It's just about the animals. That was just about the puppets. And that's a fantastic new skill for me. I've never done anything like that before.
Mm. And you're also performing with a 15-year-old actor, Connor Lowe, who plays Stormboy. What's that like?
He's pretty cool.
It's great. He from day one, Connor had this amazing openness and developed a instant relationship with their puppets. It was incredible to watch. He has amazing intuition. And it was just unbelievable, just like even for me as a puppeteer who was meant to be working with this thing, there was kind of this space that I found that I needed to embrace between going, okay, I got to be working with this thing every day. I got to feel really comfortable. Mm. Connor was straight in, like at least, you know, from my perspective, being a puppeteer was straight in, so comfortable, especially with Mr. Percival, which is a huge part of, well, it is at the core of this story.
And Mr. Percival really holds a very special place in people's hearts too.
Yeah, and he just somehow, he was able to fully come in and really embrace that relationship with a puppet, and he still does, and has a massive payoff in the end when, you know, for all the people for all the people who don't know the story, there is a very integral moment of the story that takes place, and for Connor to be able to emotionally invest in that with something that is, you know, made of plywood and aluminium it was quite phenomenal for me to watch.
And the other thing as well is that generally the worst thing that an actor can have is a front. Is barriers that they put up because, well, for whatever reason, they've been harassed during the rehearsal process or whatever. And so you just put up guards in front of you, beaten down, you know, hard lives or whatever. So that can be the worst thing because it actually stops the audience reading what you're doing. And so now you get a 15-year-old boy who has 1,000 things going on in him. For him to be emotionally available to 500 people every night and to us every night to, like, have new things happening to him and so he can relate that through is an amazing, amazing skill, and he's got it in spades.
I love that terminology, emotionally available to all the audience members. Do you think about that in terms of your own practice?
Always. Yeah. Everything I do is about not being egocentric, is about not being about me. So it has to be about the other person, has to be about the puppets, it has to be about Connor, it has to be about Tony and all of those characters in the given circumstances. The moment I start thinking about how good I am or how amazing this moment is for me, then I've lost it. So, and it's really...
How do you keep it in check? Is there a process you go through, or is it just something...
Sure, I've got a technique. That's my technique that I do that just keeps me grounded and keeps me constantly, you know... Because the other thing is nerves and butterflies and things like that, and so...
How you know you're alive, right?
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Mainly some people go, oh, I'm really nervous, so they try and stop the nerves. Yeah. Whereas you accept that and you open yourself up to that and you say that all of the stuff flying around in you is good stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden... You're just there. And so I've got a little, you know, step process that gets me onto the stage every night.
Do you have one?
Well, I do a lot of ensemble work. So a lot of my stuff is with a team of people, and you have to be there for those people. Otherwise, the whole thing crumbles. I cannot perform my role as a puppeteer in Stormboy without Emily and Drew. It doesn't work. So that's my kind of reminder. I also get really nervous opening night. So for opening night, I always dedicate that show to somebody else that has played a big part in my life to make it about them and not about me. Yeah.
Do you still get nervous on opening night?
Yeah, definitely. I get nervous a lot of times. I get nervous meeting people. I get nervous when people come up to me and
doing
all
radio
that sort
interviews.
Of stuff. I get nervous doing radio
you don't
interviews.
Look nervous.
So, yeah, no, trust me, inside it's crazy. I always get nervous. And that, like you said before, that's how I know I'm alive.
Yeah.
And, John, some people may recognise you from your film and TV credits, Water Rats, All Saints, Red Dog. What's coming up for you next?
Oh, yeah. So we were just talking outside.
Oh, yeah. That's something exciting that you're not nervous about.
That I was very nervous in doing. So this time last year, I came to Melbourne and I did a film called The Whistleblower, which was this $50 million Chinese-Australian co-production. So like when I did Red Dog, which was an amazing, wonderful, fantastic experience, we had a $9 million budget. It was made off Nelson Wass's credit card. It was like Nelson was working his butt off to make sure this film got made. So here's $50 million and a crew that just went for days. And my director didn't speak English. My other co-stars didn't speak English. And so I was constantly have to talk through interpreters and have that feeling of, like I was talking to you about, no gates, no barriers, and being open to people who I knew didn't understand a word I was saying. So I just had to shut that bit out. And luckily for me, they were awesome. The English that they'd learnt, that their characters spoke in the film, was fantastic. So anyway, that is supposed to be coming out with the Melbourne International Film Festival. It's called The Whistleblower. And the character they're playing, that is very different to Hideaway Tom. Never really been a CEO before of a company.
How did that go for you?
So it was pretty funny. It was suit and tie every day. It was like, who is this guy? But yeah, wonderful. Really sort of dark. Not that character was someone who's not what he appears to be. And that was what was really fun about playing. He's such a laid back, laconic Australian guy who's got a few dark secrets inside of him. So that's coming out soon. And I'm shooting another film up in the Blue Mountains at the end of the year. So that again looks pretty exciting.
Cool. How about you, Ellen?
I delve straight back into theatre land. I've got a year of puppetry ahead of me. So straight after we do the Brisbane season of Storm Boy, I go back into the rehearsal room with the Dead Puppet Society to do a work on a remount. They're doing their show Laser Beak Man, which has a national tour this year. We'll be coming back to Melbourne. Well, coming to Melbourne for the first time. So I will be coming back to Melbourne in September.
When it's warmer.
Well, I don't know if it is or not.
September.
I've been.
It kind of breaks then.
You know, who knows?
Nothing wrong with
who
a bit
knows?
Of cold. Get a coat.
Yeah.
Get a scarf. Get over it.
Yeah, so that will be my second puppetry gig. It is all puppetry, no actors, and yeah, that's me for the rest of this year.
Thank you so much to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Actor John Batchelor and puppeteer Ellen Bailey have been my guests in the drawing room. Storm Boy is on until the 20th of July at the Southbank Theatre in Melbourne. And if you want tickets, you can visit mtc.com.au.